Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course. Today we begin with verse 19 of chapter 10. It tells us that there was a division among the Jews because of his words, and the words referred to are the discourse concerning the Good Shepherd, which began in verse 1 of this chapter. And it may refer more particularly to the end of that discourse, just before verse 19, where Jesus said some very strong things. Notice verse 18. He said, "No one takes it from me," referring to his life, "but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This charge I have received from my Father." Again, as often in the Gospel of John, he is claiming an exclusive relationship to the Father. Back in John 5:18, it says they wanted to stone him. And for what reason? Because he said God was his Father. And how did they interpret that statement? Not the way you interpret it about your relationship to the Father. They said, "We're stoning you because you make yourself equal with God." That's the Jesus of the Bible. He made himself equal with God. Any other Jesus, a Jesus that is less than equal to the Father, is not the Jesus of the New Testament. I keep repeating this because there are people who come knocking at my door to talk about religion, and they do not believe that Jesus is equal to the Father or that he is the Son of God. They knock at your door too, and the question you need to ask is Jesus equal with God? Is he God the Son? Well, I think you'll get the answer, no, we don't think so. Well, if that is their answer, then you don't need to talk to them anymore unless they're willing to let you teach them something. And I haven't found many who were willing to listen to anything. They want to do the talking. Not too long ago, I had a visit by two women. I was busy and really didn't want to talk, although I like to talk to these people, but I finally said, "You don't want to learn, you just want to proselyte. You want me to listen to you, and you people are not receptive to hearing anything from anyone else." They would not take one of our free grace booklets that I offered them, but they wanted me to take their booklets. You see, with those people, it's all one-sided, so there's not much sense in talking to people who don't want to listen to anything. I recall a little more than a year ago, a couple of other women came by, and I offered them the grace booklet, and they said, "Well, grace is not all that important." I said, "Not important? It's found 155 times in the New Testament. What is important?" I finally said, "After you've read the grace booklet, if you have questions, then come back. I want to talk to you." Friends, there's a need to keep emphasizing who Jesus is. People say they believe in Jesus, but the Bible says the demons believe that. But who is Jesus? As you read your Bible, keep looking for those identifications that make him different from everyone else and different from what you are hearing from some religious leaders today. The word that applies to Jesus in the Bible is unique, which means one of a kind, one without a rival at all. That's the Jesus we believe in. Now this passage, verse 19 of John chapter 10, marks the third time that John points out how either the teachings or the miraculous deeds of Jesus resulted in a divided opinion concerning his identity. Listen to verse 19. "There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, 'He has a demon, and he is mad. Why listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the sayings of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" Well, these divisions mentioned in the Gospel of John began in chapter 10, verse 40. It says, "When they heard these words, some of the people said, 'This is really the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Is the Christ to come from Galilee? So there was a division among the people over him. Now, that discussion took place at Jerusalem at the Feast of the Tabernacles. There's a second reference in John chapter 9, verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" Now, that's logic. There was a division among them. Now, this statement followed the miracle of the healing of the blind man. And the text there tells us that many of the people said, "He has a demon. He is mad. Why listen to him?" And others said, "These are not the sayings of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, that's more logic. There were always some people who could put it together and say, 2 + 2 = 4. If a man can do these miracles, he can't very well be from a demon. He must be from God. But there were always some people who couldn't put it together. They didn't want to agree with the logic of it all. They had a different opinion, and that's how people are who do not want to believe. They will not face facts. Some were very quick to condemn Jesus as mad or demon-possessed. And why do you suppose they pronounced such harsh judgment on him? Well, that was the easy way of justifying their reluctance to believe. A person will not face facts and say, "I will not believe in this Son of God." Why, the man wouldn't be able to sleep if he said that, so instead he tries to depreciate the person of Jesus in order to justify his unbelief. We all do that. We don't want to face truth. And these people particularly, in the first century, had a great problem with the truth which Jesus brought. He had said and done so many significant things, but yet they were troubled by this man. They wanted to drive him out of their lives. That would be easier than investigating his claim. So they called him a demon and said, "Why listen to him?" And as far as they were concerned, that settled the matter. So they said, "Why listen to him?" Well, for almost 20 centuries, men have been divided over Jesus, either for him or against him. Each of us has to make a choice, or we're in the process of deciding if Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus was known as the Prince of Peace. However, he taught that serious divisions would occur because of him. And it doesn't sound like he's the Prince of Peace in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. He said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be of his own household." Ponder that. Some of you have experienced, and literally, what Jesus foretold here. You may have paid a price for believing in him, and it may have turned family members against you. That's a strong testimony concerning your faith in Christ. Rejoice if that be the case. Now consider this. God has sent a unique visitor to his holy city of Jerusalem, and all the world will be judged for what they do with this person. They'll be judged for not believing in the one whom God has sent. There are some people who are fools. What do? They try to be neutral toward Jesus, but they too will be judged by the Father in heaven. Let's move on with John chapter 10, beginning with verse 22, a passage which is very familiar to many of us. It was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico, or the porch of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, And I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This section of John chapter 10 talks about the Feast of Dedication, but it's not found anywhere in the Old Testament. Unless you have a Bible containing the apocryphal books, then you'll find it in 1 Maccabees chapter 4. In chapter 1 of 1 Maccabees, you'll read about a character named Antiochus Epiphanes, a Syrian ruler. I believe he died in 164 B.C. He had polluted the temple in anger against the Jews. And Judah Maccabeus and his brothers fought those Syrians and were victorious, and then they had a celebration to cleanse the temple. It went on for 8 days, and that was called the Feast of Dedication. That happened in 165 B.C. Now, the celebration of that feast occurred, and Jesus apparently was in Jerusalem at that time, and we call this Feast of Dedication, or rather the Jews do, Hanukkah. It occurs regularly during the Christmas season. Now, by the way, most people pronounce the Syrian ruler Antiochus, but the Greek pronunciation is Antiochus Epiphanes, or Epiphanes, with the accent at the end of that word. Well, Jesus was there. This was not a sober celebration. It was a joyous time, and every Jew, even today, who observes this, will put candles in his window or have a special lighting ceremony to commemorate this cleansing of the temple. Antiochus went into that temple and offered a pig as a sacrifice. Now, that's an unclean animal, according to the law, and they polluted the temple. So, in restoring it, they actually tore the altar out and put in a new altar and went about ceremonially cleansing everything. It also required the priest to have new robes because they wanted to get rid of any kind of pollution there for the sake of their God. It's a great story. If you have the book of Maccabees, you want to read that. It's good history. But the Jews never accepted the book of Maccabees as part of their scriptures, and so most Bibles today do not contain those apocryphal books. Nevertheless, it's history, and you'll be fascinated with some of that reading. Now, Jesus was in the temple during that 8-day joyous festival, and John, for the sake of his Gentile readers who were not familiar with Jewish customs, writes that it was winter. Well, I see we're out of time. How should we interpret the Bible? There are common sense rules to follow, and these are explained in our 6-cassette tape course entitled Principles of Interpretation. This cassette tape course on Bible interpretation is a practical version of what is taught in theological seminaries. Don't miss this opportunity to learn how to interpret the Word of God. Write for our free teaching tapes brochure. Until next week, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.